Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast that you are currently listening to. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. His name is Lawrence, and he's an idiot.
Full disclosure,
Lawrence, Nathan's... no one cares.
No,
tell
I
us
care.
What this podcast is all about.
Fuck's sake. Nathan, this is the show where each week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a telly show, it could be a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent in this day and age.
That is very true. What are we doing?
Well, today, Nathan, we are creating a podcast about a certain movie.
I mean, we've already created a podcast. We created this over 3 years ago now, Lawrence.
Sorry, my mistake. We're creating an episode of the podcast.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And this specific episode that we are creating today is called, as luck would have it, The Creator.
Okay.
Look, you're in a bad mood, I'm in a bad mood, you're sleepy, and I, for some reason, my entire recording setup just fucked itself.
I had to listen to you try to fix your entire fucking life for about 40 minutes before we could even start.
Look, you could have got on with something, alright? You could have done some, what you got going on? You could have done some stuff in the background. You could have built some Legos, you could have read a book. You got any Legos or a book?
I got both.
Well, then you could have done, so you could have done two things.
Yeah, you're right. What a fool I am for not doing Legos or a book whilst you was trying to fix your audio software.
Thank you. Thank you for apologising.
It's my fault, actually.
Look, it's not my fault. My Zoom just fucked up. I have no idea why.
You didn't update it, that's why.
I did update it. It's been updated.
Anyway...
We can't be in a bad... Look, peace talks, all right? We can't be in bad moods this entire episode.
Just move on. Just get to the fucking thing. What are we talking about?
We're talking about The Creator, Nathan. I just said I'm excited to talk about it.
Great.
You never saw this in the cinema. You saw it for the first time today.
Yeah, I saw it today.
What do you make of The Creator?
I saw some of it today.
Go on. Tell them your sins.
It's not my sin. I don't care.
You would care if it was me. If you had suggested something and I had done this, you would care deeply.
Only if it was something that I thought was like really important.
Okay, are you showing your hands?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like Nathan fell asleep while watching this movie a couple of times.
Like three times.
Were they little naps or were they big snoozes?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. I think they were little naps, yeah. But I mean, I was watching it in bed, just on my laptop.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah, but you know, it is what it is.
Were they those kind of naps where you suddenly wake up and you're like, "What happened there?"
Yeah,
yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah. So full disclosure, probably missing pieces of information about this movie, but I think it'll be fine. I get the gist of it. It's robots and shit.
It is. I mean, it's certainly robots. I can fill in some gaps. Or robots, as you claimed last
I'll
week.
I'll say it when I want to say it, all right? I won't be made to be some performing monkey for you, Lawrence, okay?
Say robots, Nathan!
I'll say it when I want to say it, okay?
Right, Nathan, what do you think of this movie? The Creator?
Yeah, it's all right, I reckon.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's nothing special, don't get me wrong. It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty all right. It looks good.
It does look very good.
Yeah, it's pretty okay.
That's one thing that pretty much, because there are this, it's got quite a mixed reception. People either really like it or really are like, it's whatever. But I think everyone is agreeing that it's like, it looks very good. Like, it's a very nice looking film.
It's a fine movie. And not like, oh, it's fine. Like, it, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right. It's not breaking any fucking new grounds or anything. And it doesn't need to. But like,
In terms of what? In terms of like plot stuff?
In terms of everything. It's nothing new here.
It ushers in what I hope will be some lessons for other studios to listen to.
Okay. Well, I don't know what any of that means.
Well, I will get to it. In terms of plot,
I have not studied the full fucking behind the scenes making progress of this movie from start to finish, okay? I'm talking purely as a finished product, and again, admittedly, which I did not see all of. Like, it's, you know, it's not breaking any new ground, and it's mostly fine. But again, full disclosure.
Nathan's honest opinion of three quarters of a finished product.
Full disclosure, might not even be that. Full disclosure, I am missing, like, certain pieces. But, you know, whatever.
Okay, so luckily for you, I have studied this movie's behind the scenes and making of and VFX process in great detail. Firstly, out of interest. Secondly, then because I had to listen to a bunch of VFX supervisors talk about it for work stuff, which makes me sound important. I'm just editing an interview. But basically, I think plot-wise...
ground do you think it's breaking then? If you think it's this masterpiece or whatever?
The movie's flawed. The movie has got problems and... There are elements of it that I think are like, it is like a mesh of a bunch of sci-fi concepts. And it's an original movie that's packed to the brim with stuff that's not that original, if that makes sense. But I think what I like the most about this movie is the way that it's been made. It like what it hopefully represents and hopefully serves as a lesson for other people to heed, which is like, if you have a distinct and clear vision and picture of what you want, it's entirely possible to not blow $200 million on a movie and still make it look very good when there are studios out there blowing over $200 million on things that look like shit.
Yeah, okay. But if you're saying you're a fan of the way it's made, but not necessarily the end product, like, I mean, to me, and again, I'm not as much of a dickhead about this stuff as you, but like,
okay, yeah.
To me, I'm just like, well, then irrelevant, because like you can make a sandwich and you can make it in a great way and like follow the recipe or whatever and you do everything right and you and it's like and the way you make it is the way that sandwiches should be made,
yeah,
but then the end result is you've got a shit sandwich, okay?
Like, okay, yeah,
the way you made it doesn't mean shit in that process, does it? If I'm sat here at the table waiting for my sandwich, which you have made the right way, and admittedly, yes, you put a lot of love into it and you did everything the way you were supposed to, but then at the end result, that sandwich is shit. The way you made it isn't going to mean fuck all to me, is it? I'm just going to be like, well, that's a bad sandwich.
From I completely get your point. From like a just a viewer's perspective, but like, I'm happy about what this means for like the prospect of original concepts in movies. Like, okay. I'm excited for all of the stuff. Like, yeah, I absolutely agree that, like, if it doesn't appear in the finished product, what is the point? But ultimately, what I love most about this movie does appear in the finished product, which is, like, incredible visuals made by a VFX team that were treated very fairly and paid handsomely. And, like, with all of that being said, like, yeah, it's not a perfect movie, but it's clear that there was a singular goal and vision throughout the process. And I'm glad that, to use your sandwich analogy, I'm glad that like 20 people didn't have to work 7 days a week, like 18 hour days to make this sandwich possible to look as good as it is.
Did the sandwich do well?
I actually don't know. I can find out roughly.
Because like, again, like all of that's great, but it doesn't mean shit if it like didn't really do that well. And
well, here's the thing. It did. So apparently, right, and this is a very rough figure because it's just from one Google search. Apparently, it's made $100 million at the box office, right? Which isn't a lot of money.
No, how much was the budget of it?
The budget was 80.
Okay, well, that's nothing then. Because marketing as well, that's not even broken even.
I agree, but...
So no, there is the answer to that.
Okay, but then it's a lot more attractive to lose a little bit of money than to lose... We put out a 200 million and then we, you know, add another bit on for marketing purposes and then it still only made 100 million.
I'm agreeing with you and I want to make this 100% clear. I fully agree with you in terms of that before I make this next point, okay? Fully agree with you because of that. But the reason these big sandwich restaurants are able to do that, to make these sandwiches that cost 300 million and then they only make whatever, is because they have other movies which make over a billion consistently. And that offsets the cost.
But I don't think
And by movies, I mean sandwiches.
Yeah, okay, yes, of course. Well, to keep up with the analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Look, it's at the end of the day, but that's the industry that it is, right? Like, mega hits fund smaller things. But what I'd want is a world where the mega hits can be looked at in a more sustainable way. You don't have to burn through a ridiculous amount. And also, like, even just speaking away from, like, the corporate side of it with money involved, right? It's just not nicer on a visual effects team. Like, there are studios out there that will, for no reason other than they're inconsistent, they will shoot pretty much everything on a green or blue screen setup in sets that are highly malleable and changeable, because of the fact that they don't know what order this movie might be coming out in, or they don't know if they're going to need to add something into the background of something. And that is like a burden on VFX artists who do work, and then someone 2 weeks before the movie releases goes, change it. And they go, oh, fuck, okay. Like, whereas this is, I just think it's a better practice. Like, it's, they were out there, they took a small crew around the world. They physically went to some really beautiful looking locations. And to do that, like, it's obviously a lot cheaper to fly a smaller crew out than it is to build fuck off massive sets every time your idea changes. Like, I don't know. I just like, I like what this movie represents. It's not perfect. And I still think 80 million is an absurd amount of money to spend on anything, but
yeah,
it's a step in the right direction. I think
this is in no way a small budget movie. Like,
no, not at all.
Not at all.
But it's ridiculous that we actually would, there's a genuinely tangible argument to be made that it is a mid-tier budget because of how blown out of proportion regular budgets have become now.
Really? Deadpool was 50 million.
Yeah, but then what was the second one?
More, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Not much more, though. I think it was about 100 for the second one. Maybe I'm wrong with that. But
and there is a part of these budgets as well that are overblown to compensate the stars that they create. Like, Robert Downey Jr. paid pretty much peanuts for Iron Man, and then by the time Civil War rolled around, he was like a quarter of the fucking budget just to get him involved.
It's true.
Yeah, so that there is... I understand why these things do skyrocket, but, like, speaking from a purely, like... I just think this is a clear product of one guy's vision, who has worked in the larger industries. Like, he made two of his most successful movies were Godzilla and Rogue One, like Gareth Edwards. So he knows... He knows how quickly a budget can be blown on stupid shit. And he has come about and said in a lot of like interviews surrounding this that like he really wanted to just make a big movie, but without all of the burden of making a big movie. He said he wanted to make his like take his student filmmaking tactics and just apply it on a grander scale, which I think this movie achieves really well. It's just like there's like 20 guys running around the world just making this insane fucking thing, and they've got like heads of departments from each thing, as opposed to bringing over everyone in every department.
What's this thing? Because I remember before it came out, what's this thing about the explosion? Because there was some controversy around. Because didn't it like just basically reuse footage from like the Beirut explosion or something?
Then what, in like the intro? I can't have heard of this.
I don't know. There was like, because there's a real world actual explosion that like was, and I think it's Beirut. I might be wrong on that, but like ended up, it was quite bad and killed a lot of people. And there's like cell phone footage of it and stuff, and people have lined it up, and it's like one for one, but like with just some like digital like sci-fi buildings added in the background and stuff.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That must have been. That's got to be the nuking of LA.
I don't know when it is. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what it is, but
Oh, I don't know. Well, I haven't heard of that at all. Okay. Yeah, if they caught controversy for that, then that seems deserved. I don't do that.
Yeah, the official trailer for Kraya received negative criticism for using footage from the 2020 Beirut explosion as a visual effects plate shot of a futuristic Los Angeles being obliterated by a nuclear explosion. Yeah, so it was LA. Yeah.
Well, that's obviously not brilliant. They shouldn't do that.
So,
look, I've just spent the first 20 minutes defending them, all right? But look. I didn't know about that. That's not good.
Well,
but
you said like you studied the whole thing, so I thought you'd know about
it. Yeah, but I'm from an interview from their point. Like, they're not going to be like, yeah, we did this real dodgy thing in their Oscar push, are they?
You haven't done your research then, have you?
No, my research is one-sided, but I hadn't heard of that. But like everything else that's going on in this, like in terms of like filmmaking practices, I think is just... It's cool, man, and also like hopefully.
So, what are these practices that you love so much?
Well, like just
what's going on? Tell me about it.
So little things like they're not just. It's not just an empty space, and it's not just like two people right now. Like a common thing, like people were praising the volume quite highly when it was introduced, but now it's pretty much become we're going to put some sand on the floor, and then the volume can do the rest of the work, which is not really how the volume is supposed to be used.
Mm.
And often you can tell. And like there are people that do it better and there are people that do it worse. And I get it's not the tech itself. It's how the tech is implemented. But like a lot of the times, you like think of like Quantumania and stuff. It's so apparent to see that it's just two actors not in the same room against a blue screen or a green screen. And then they've like added a soft blur onto the background so that they can just have the illusion of there's stuff going on. There is a world, but you can't really see it. It's not the focus. But I like that, like, they had a VFX supervisor come with them as they did all their travels to shoot this. And, like, if there's a sci-fi car, there's a few, like, little sci-fi police cars and stuff in this. And to help out the VFX guys, they if there was going to be a car in the shot, they filmed the car in the shot. Like, it was, like, I think they even said, like, it was, like, a Skoda or a Ford Fiesta. They drove it as it would have been driving in the scene. And then, obviously, that just... That allowed for the VFX team to paint over it, and it gave them like a basis to work off of instead of creating an entire new asset at probably great expense and stress.
But this is nothing new, though. This is what I'm saying.
No, so... but it's ushering back in old techniques that we've just abandoned for some reason because of ease.
I mean, not everyone's abandoned it. You're mainly just
talking
about...
one gets money to make them anymore like this. No one gets money like this is groundbreaking.
Again, though, I fully get what you're saying, and I am fully behind you, and I do agree this is good. But what I'm saying is this isn't really groundbreaking, and also didn't make any money. So, like, if you say it's ushering in this new way, I'm like, but is it, or are the people who fucking sign the checks going to be like, well, I mean, look at the results, and then... which I do not agree with, just for full disclosure, I do not agree with that, but...
No, I know you're being a realist, and it's how the world works. Like, I get it. Like, corporations are going to worry about the bottom line more than anything else.
Yes. Also, it did feel a bit gross at times. I was like, we're doing a movie about a fight against AI, and then we're like... We're on the side of AI. Is this? I don't know about this, man.
let's move away from VFX, otherwise we're going to be here all day. I wanted to talk about this, right?
Okay.
Because this is right. Obviously, this movie was in development for a while, and it's incredibly unfortunate that it happened to come out.
Yeah.
At the exact thick of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes.
Yeah, it did come out during the boom and the controversy of AI, where it's developed and it's advanced by quite a lot since probably this film was even conceptualized.
Yeah.
And now it's quite a worry for a lot of people for a lot of legitimate reasons. And yeah, having a movie where it's like, yeah, fuck the humans. We love AI. It's like,
I get about your this point, one, Chief. But I do think it's like the movie and the themes of AI. Like it's more of a surrogate shell to critique like the American military and industrial complex. Like,
yes, it is, but it's still, you know.
I understand the framing is like. I just know that Gareth Edwards was like in the studio, like, can we delay this a year? Please, can we delay this?
I've probably been even worse. Like, the longer this stays on the shelf, the more advanced AI gets, the worse this movie gets, okay? Like, if this came out in 2016, 2015, great.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely fine. But, you know, now, no, it's a different realm.
Do you remember? Do you remember Ex Machina? It's like it's basically this. It's like, hey, robots are humans too.
And Ex Machina is great. I've got no problem with it.
But because this is the thing. It's
because it came out in 2014 or whatever, 2015.
Look, it's unfortunately the landscape that it has landed in. That does color it in a certain way.
Yeah.
But like, I think if you look at the wider story as a whole, it's way more about critiquing, like. It's way more about critiquing like the war machine that America funds, and also more about how we view it's more about how we view others.
I know. I'm not an idiot. I do get I do get it. But...
Well, I had to check because you fell asleep.
No, I got that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No. All right. Do you want to? Should we get into?
All right, so here we go, So for the longest time, all right, so John David Washington is here. He's like, hello, I'm a spy or whatever.
Oh,
or
he's fantastic. What a man.
Okay.
He's like, not what a man. He's my man is a movie star, all right? Let him be in more things is what I say.
Okay, I have no problem with that.
I know you don't like Tenet. I'm just getting it in early.
I don't like Tenet.
Right?
I think it's a bad movie.
Go on, John David Washington.
I'd say it's Nolan's worst movie. I would.
Okay.
God, what a piece of shit that film is.
I say nothing. We've already been on three tangents.
Yeah, what was I saying? Anyway, so John David Washington's here. He's like undercover. He's like married to Gemma Chan. There's a lot of my dead wife footage in this movie.
There's a lot of she's on the beach and we're in love.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a white dress as well. It doesn't do the egregious look, we're under the bed sheets and I'm looking at the camera sort of thing. It doesn't do that, the traditional, but
the smile in the lens and look away out of shyness.
Exactly. A lot of my dead wife footage. But anyway, so he's married to Gemma Chan, but all right, so here's something I don't get, and maybe this was explained, but maybe not. Is Gemma Chan a robot?
No.
Okay, so she was a person.
She was a person.
She's a pregnant person.
Yeah.
Okay. And the baby is not the baby?
The baby... So
the baby is not the robot.
In a way, right? So let me speed
up.
I'm
already confused now. What's going on?
All right. So basically...
So there's a robot.
Nathan, let me get through it.
There's a baby robot who is like a bomb or whatever.
No, she's not a bomb. She's an EMP, I guess.
She's a weapon. She's a weapon that can turn off technology or something.
Yes.
She does a little prey, and then technology turns off.
I would not use the term weapon. She is... I think that the fact that she can't blow shit up, the fact that she can just stop things is far more of, like, indicative of her
purpose.
Enough
of your fucking ethical bullshit here. I'm just speaking generally, okay?
Well, then let me get through this so we can get on.
All right, go on then.
So basically, Gemma Chan was with John David Washington. John David Washington was sent to Gemma Chan's little village.
Yes.
Because he wanted... information on her dad, who is the AI. He's like progressing a lot of the AI works in Asia.
Because John David Washington is a big American soldier.
He's a big American soldier.
And he's fighting a good fight against AI.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he goes there. He ends up falling in love with Gemma Chan.
Yeah.
Years pass. Gemma Chan is...
But also the army said, hey, go marry this woman, but don't fall in love. Here, have this ring, marry her, but don't fall in love, don't get too close, or we'll kill you and your entire family, I guess.
Nathan, there's all sorts of questions about what is real in this movie, all right?
Oh,
and we can get to those, but let me tell you who the baby is.
I have a feeling I'm not going to like this movie after this episode, but go on. Like, right now, I think it's fine, but whatever, go on.
The more you explore... No, it's just because you don't want me to talk about it.
No, go on. Do what you need to do.
All right, so then, basically then, Gemma Chan gets... I guess semi-blown up.
Because the army comes. And John David Washington's like, I'm in the army, but you don't know this.
Yes. And obviously, the baby is lost because Gemma Chan is lost. And the baby and Gemma Chan don't make it out of that explosion.
Makes sense. Or, I'm following
you. I mean, they kind of do, but she's very comatose and not going to wake up.
Okay, you lost me.
Okay, well, that's why she's in the little thing at the end. She's in the bed. They've got her body, but she's... Not sure how she's so well preserved.
All right, so Gemma Chan blew up, but she didn't, and the baby is gone.
No, she'd been working. The baby is gone. The human baby is gone.
Baby's dead.
But unbeknownst to John David Washington, she was underground scanning her own embryo that she was growing.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's sci-fi stuff, Nathan. Okay. She was pregnant and she was like, I've got a scan of this embryo.
Okay.
And making an AI duplicate.
So she made a robot baby of her baby before her baby was born.
Yes.
Okay.
So it has it like there in a way, John David Washington like is the father of this AI baby, and like that again, it raises a lot of questions: what's real, what's human, what's not. Like,
okay,
but that's the thick of it, yeah.
And how much does the baby know? Because like the baby is like. Baby seems, it's not a baby, but it's like a 5-year-old kid or whatever. But like,
yeah.
The baby.
A really talented actress, by the way.
Very good, yeah, very good.
For the age, yeah.
Yeah. But like, the baby seems like very quick to be like, oh, I trust you and love you or whatever.
Right. Put yourself in the perspective of you've been raised in a bunker, only ever speaking to certain weirdos that come and talk to you and do tests on you.
Yeah.
So this is very much.
And here comes a man with a gun who is stealing me.
Well, yeah, but then from her perspective. Like, she's being taken out of where she's been confined to. This man is showing her the world, whether it's like that or not for him, which it absolutely isn't. There is an element of, like, I'm going to warm to this person who's bringing me all these new experiences.
Yeah.
And he does start to treat her far more sympathetically as the movie goes on. It's very lion and cub in
it's
that
true,
respect.
True, he does, yeah.
All right. Is there anything... What do you want to talk about? I feel like this is just going to be me explaining some parts that you fell asleep to.
I don't know. All right, so...
Did you like the soldiers appearing through on the ocean, like the poster for Rogue One? Nathan, it was one of the opening shots. Tell me you weren't
asleep.
Yeah,
no, I'm sorry. I do know what you're talking about, yes. Yeah, I guess.
Like... It looks cool, doesn't it? Soldiers coming out of the ocean is cool. I don't agree with then all the other stuff.
Yeah, is it? To me, it just seems like, well, bad stuff's going to happen.
I know, but it looks cool.
I don't know.
Do you know? I think the cinematography in this is very good. It looks.
I'm talking specifically about the imagery of soldiers coming out of the ocean. Yeah. Like,
but you could say it looks cool. The implications are not cool. The implications are war crimes.
I don't even know if it does look cool though. This movie looks good. Don't get me wrong. Like, it looks great for a lot of it. But. I don't know, that wasn't a show where I was like, whoa, that blew me away, you know?
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I get you. All right, I mean, I can just cherry pick some notes. We can talk about some stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Did you like the Torchwood Resurrection glove?
Right, no, this was stupid. this was stupid. I thought this was so fucking dumb. And I thought, and it's the exact same rules as Torchwood. Like, because in Torchwood, when they resurrect that guy, he's immediately freaking out. Because he's just died and he's like, I don't want to die. So if you're going to fucking put this guy's conscience in this robot and then he fucking like do it, at least move his body so he can't see his own corpse lying right next to him. You
know? They don't care, Nathan. They're bad boy Americans.
They have 30 seconds to fucking get the information they need. It doesn't matter. It's not about caring. It's about being smart enough to fucking think about what is going to happen.
At least spin his head round.
Yeah, exactly. At least turn him so he can't fucking see his own mutilated corpse, you know? God, we're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, no, they are pretty stupid. I do like the concept, though. Like, I like the... And it comes back at the end of the movie for...
It's no groundbreaking. It's been done, like...
Of course, but everything in this movie's been done.
It was done in 2006 with a big metal glove or whatever.
One of my favourite tweets I saw about this movie was, just saw the creator, and then underneath it said, massive movie for people that haven't played The Last of Us or know about 9/11.
I mean, yeah.
Look, there's loads of stuff like that. All right, yeah. So, what else is going on in this? There's elements of it which is quite funny. I thought the dog playing fetch with a grenade, that's fun.
That just gave me anxiety for like a moment. I was like, "Is the dog okay?" And he was. They purposefully had a shot afterwards where the dog was fine. So I was like, "Thank you, Gareth. You did well there." But yeah.
There's another bit as well where one of like the American soldiers is like threatening a dog to get information out of like a child who is just screaming. And
so, are these dogs robots then?
No, I think they're just dogs.
Then how? Why did the dog take the grenade and take it back out?
Just playing fetch, isn't it? Because it was thrown into the room. So the dog was like, "I'll do a bit of fetch."
Seems convenient.
Yeah, I mean, look, but then everything in a movie is convenient, isn't it?
I know, like, but
Look, I'm not saying John David Washington didn't get very lucky in that circumstance.
There could be a reason behind it, though. Like, if it was a robot dog or whatever, and then the little girl did it, but...
I mean, I get, but then, like, I don't know, I think there's just an element of fun to it, where it's like, if I threw a toy right now, my dog would probably get up and get it. So why not with this grenade?
Yeah,
the dog doesn't know it's a grenade.
I know, but... I don't know.
And it's a fun little dog. It's a cheery boy. You see him looking at everything going on. He's down to play.
But then I was just worried about the dog.
All right, what about hijacking the bus through the military checkpoint and all the kids on board are like, "Wee!"
This is where there was like playing very loud like kids music as well.
They like shut down the border thing.
Yeah.
Or Alfie shuts down the border, and then like the Americans are like, oh no, not the Americans, the Asian police force of like robots and humans are like, open fire on this bus full of kids.
That seems kind of stupid. Yeah, I guess it kind of confused me, because for a while I was like, so what side is everyone on?
Yeah, because there is like, a bit of that. Yeah.
It's a bit like, so like, it's just basically everyone against like John David Washington and the little baby, basically. Because like the robots want the baby because it's their bomb. And then the humans and Americans want the baby because they're going to bomb their big sci-fi ship or whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't want that to happen, so...
So it's kind of everyone against everyone, because John David Washington starts very much on the side of... Well, he's... No, he...
When I he also got back, very confused that when he went back as well. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? How much did I miss?
Oh, no, because he's going back because he's been lied to. He's been told his wife is okay and walking around.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, then I'm going to go and find my wife. He's not there. He doesn't give a fuck about the mission. He disobeys pretty much every order given to him.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, though, because, like, you were fully killing soldiers, and now you're back here? But then he was doing a thing, and like, oh, I don't know.
He was undercover for a little bit, Nathan.
Oh, he's also bad at being undercover as well.
Yeah, he's
his wife was like 2 feet away from him, and he's like, "What are you doing here? I'm undercover. Stop that this."
That was a very convenient moment of like, when he like faked the shot. I was like, "What's the end game here? Because your wife is upstairs. She's gonna come back downstairs at some point,
exactly.
And see that this guy is very much not dead."
Stupid.
Play dead. We'll ignore the fact that you have no bullet wound in your head whatsoever.
Yeah. All right, but so his wife Gemma Chan.
Yes.
She's not this guy's son. Or whatever. Well, she's definitely not his son. She's not this. She's not this like guy's robot daughter. Oh fucking hell! She's not this like robot terrorist's daughter. She is the robot terrorist or something.
So no, I think that the information's a bit weirdly given. But my read on it was that her dad was Namata, who is the creator.
Oh, he's the creator.
He's the titular creator, Nathan. Oh,
I thought he was being very on the nose and being like, oh, John David Washington is the creator because he's this baby's father or whatever.
He's the creator of your life.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are multiple meanings of it, but I guess. But that's the creator is at the start of the movie, it says the creator, and then like a certain, I think, I can't remember what language it was, but Namata is the word for creator.
Okay.
So Gemma Chan is not until later on she is. Like, her dad is Namata, but then her dad dies. And at that point, he's taught her everything she knows.
And Do we see this at any point?
No, we never see her dad. We never see her dad on screen.
Okay.
So since John David Washington has been with her, she has been Namata.
Okay. So who tells us that?
From a few people. So the flashback of the guy being like,
hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's the ring. Go and marry her.
Yeah.
He says it's her dad. And then Ken Watanabe later on tells us that it was her all along.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, that says there was never any dad.
Oh, no, she then says to John David Washington in, like, a flashback or something that it was her dad taught her everything. So it's implied that, like, when her dad died, she took over. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. There's a creator out there doing some stuff until there's not.
Okay.
Did you like the needle drop of the Radiohead song? Very Vietnam in the helicopter.
Oh, I must have missed this entire...
Like one of the coolest bits.
What was it?
It's when they're re-entering Asia, when John David Washington is going back after he accepts the mission at his pool. You know,
what?
His little pool that he's at?
At the beginning, you mean?
Yeah, so he's having a swim.
All right, yeah.
And then they go and go, your wife's alive. And he goes, all right, get me back on the helicopter
this.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the helicopter, it's flying in, and it does that. It has that really cool radio hit. I'll play it now. This is not for Nathan's benefit, but this is the song for anyone that's listening.
What is the song?
I'll find out. It's Radiohead. Let me get the title of the song. Everything in Its Right Place.
I was awake for this part of the movie. All right. I was fully awake for this, but I have no memory of this at all. But I was awake.
It's just cool. To me, it manages to capture like that. You know?
Is any Radiohead song moment in a movie ever cool, though?
I agree that there are some overtried ones, right? I know from first-hand experience there are certain Radiohead songs that should be put out to pasture and retired for good. All right, but this is a cool one. You don't hear this one in movies often.
To be fair to you, you did just straight up plagiarize Black Mirror. But
you don't know what you're talking about, all right? You need to stop.
Okay.
You had a hand in it. You were involved.
As a voice actor.
You were involved, Nathan.
Okay.
The reason I like that scene specifically, or like even it's just establishing shots that look cool with sci-fi helicopters, right? But the reason I like it is because, one, they're real shots, right? Flying over like places like Malaysia and Singapore and stuff. But no, I just like it because it's very vibey, and it's very like in the cinema it was one of them like, oh, you bop your head along to the beat of the song. It looks great. Like the shots are real, which is something you don't often see about like exterior, especially aerial shots over like Malaysia and Singapore. I think they used a lot of like rice fields, which look very good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of I don't know what they're called, but the taller fields with the big kind of grass swaying around grass in the wind.
Yeah.
And it manages to capture this really like Vietnam feel almost. You know how like in movies everyone has those like five songs that they just associate with Vietnam?
Yeah.
It manages to almost recapture that kind of energy, which I just think is... Yeah. It's like, I don't know, there's a couple of Rolling Stones in there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it manages, I think, to... And that's why I think Gareth Edwards has quite a keen eye for stuff like this, right? He captures that feeling, but like the sci-fi futuresque equivalent of what that would feel like.
Yeah.
Which I just think is really cool.
I think Kong Skull Island did it better.
I think Kong Skull Island did it.
I think Kong Skull Island did it better.
Yeah, but that was just if Vietnam.
But if you want Vietnam vibes, and then also you get the bonus of monster movie, which is, as we know, the peak of cinema.
Yeah.
Then it's just so much better.
Look, I'm not about to slander fucking Kong Skull Island. That's my favourite one of the bunch. But I don't know. Yeah, I see what you're saying, but that is just Vietnam soldiers doing exactly what the Vietnam scenes are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, looks fine.
I genuinely want to ask you this, and this is not meant to sound knobby at all.
Oh, here we go.
No.
Lawrence is gonna, which means Lawrence is gonna say something knobby.
Yeah, I mean maybe. No, because I was thinking about that time we talked about the Incredibles, and that I told you about that moment where Dash runs and the score kicks in, and it's very special.
Yeah, but that's
to me.
A very specific moment for you, though.
Absolutely, but there's no reason. It's not sentimental for me. I just have always liked that moment in the movie because it stuck out to me. And the question I'm asking is there like what moments can you like picture in your mind that you like remember going, fuck, that's cool? So like just imagery and vibes.
There was nothing in this which stood out to me that was like, oh, that's cool as fuck.
Okay, yeah.
And again, granted, I was asleep for about 10 minutes or so.
But... it might have helped if your eyes were open. It does help to see.
Yeah, but
like in other stuff. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not trying to trap you at all. I promise.
No, I know, but I do have an answer. It's just going to make me sound really dumb. there's a scene. Oh, this is stupid. This is not going to help the fucking
the popcorn versus pigeon allegations
at all. But there's a scene in Jurassic World of Dominion where
you've already lost. Go on.
Where the dinosaur, the T-Rex, like. Walks into the park or whatever, and there's like this circle statue, and it just basically makes the Jurassic Park logo for a second.
That is cool though.
It is cool. That's... yeah, it's a cool moment.
Yeah.
What else? There is definitely fucking like
the one that I always like would fall back on, and I think I vaguely remember you saying this is one of the moments you actually enjoyed from the movie. Was the fire truck in Tenet. Like, just certain things on screen that make you go like, oh, that's kind of cool. That looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah. But, like... But that's, like... that's, like, finding a good chip in a pile of bad chips, though. You know? That's, like...
I think like, needle in a haystack is what you were
like,
looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it's like going, oh, at least there's something here, you know?
Hungry? All these sandwiches and chip metaphors.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. There are definitely moments like what you're saying, which, yes, there are moments for me in movies and TV shows, but you've put me on the spot and I just can't think of any.
No, that wasn't my intention, but, like, because I do think that, and I'm not saying you're one of them, but I do think there are people out there that, like, just don't connect in that way.
Last Jedi, fucking Snoke's been cut in half. Mm. The fucking moment of that lightsaber coming towards Rey, just when her hand, we see the lightsaber, Rey's hand just grabs it.
From that moment,
for the next like 10, 20 seconds or so, she gets up, her and Ben stare at each other. Yes, I call him Ben. Her and Ben stare at each other. There's a moment of, are we doing this? Are we fucking doing this? And then they do it. Which is, of course, kiss and make out because they love each other.
I missed that scene from that. I like that shot for the two fingers that just pull the lightsaber out of him.
Sexual, very sexual, that movie.
I mean, horny, but...
I'm not even joking.
There are horny moments.
It's very erotic, that movie.
Why do you think he's got no shirt on, boys? It's horny.
He's got to get those titties out.
Oh, remember the wide allegations? For poor Adam Driver.
He is wide.
Well, people calling him Ben Swolo.
Yeah. But that was more because of that meme.
What, the one that made him look ridiculously wider?
Yeah, because they widened the meme.
But they kept his head the same.
Yeah.
No, the only reason I ask is that there are genuinely some people that, like... And I think that's a big part of enjoying this movie, right? Is to connect with the vibes of it. Like... Because this does look cool. I think, weirdly enough, I saw this in IMAX, and I was very stunned when I opened it up on Disney Plus yesterday, and it was a very skinny boy. I was like, oh. Like, this is smaller than 239.
Do they not have the IMAX version on Disney
Plus? No, I did try and look for it, because I think it is a shame, because this is one of those, like, you know, Disney Plus do that, like, IMAX enhanced thing.
Mm.
This is one that would benefit from it. I don't like the home
Disagree.
Release version of it.
Disagree.
What?
You know my feelings.
No, but like, I just think there was so much like original stuff captured for this, and so much cool imagery and cool locations travel to shoot on. Like,
yeah, but what are you really missing out on? Really?
More of it. More cool stuff.
Oh, we missed a bit of grass and a bit of sky.
I do find it terrible. More immersive. No, like, but like explosions.
But we've had this argument, but I find it less cinematic.
No, that's you know what? That's fine. At the sake of keeping this episode under a million years. All right, let's talk about some specific stuff. What do you like? Do you like Nomad?
No, of course not.
No, as in the design. Nathan, I'm asking you from a design perspective.
It's a big, terrifying nuclear dropping machine. Of course I don't like this fucking...
Okay, all right, fine. Right, let me get on your terms. Do you like the Death Star?
No.
Do you like the design of the Death Star?
Yes.
So you can distinguish the two. Okay, we've got it.
I do like the Death Star.
I know. What do you think of Nomad? The King of Scale has returned to give us a big spaceship again.
Yeah, I didn't get the scale stuff this time, really.
No, you didn't?
No, not really, because Nomad
is... It's not as striking as Star Destroyer over that place.
I think it's because you don't really have anything to reference it against. The thing that worked well with Rogue One is we were familiar with Star Destroyers. We were familiar with these imagery that was used, so we could really get a good sense of it. With Nomad, we have nothing to compare it to, because, like, it's not... neither is Star Destroyer, but, you know, we've not seen it before, you know? It's, like, it's a new thing. And then it's up against just, for the most part, the sky, and then maybe some other spaceships. It's like, okay, but, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, I just don't think you necessarily get the same sense of scale from this movie that you do in, say, a Godzilla or a Rogue One or anything like that.
No, I do agree. Like that kind of skydiving jump sequence in Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like and like you say, that what planet is the Death Star Destroyer over?
Jeddah.
Yeah, that stuff looks amazing.
Mm.
And it's also because we have some prior concept of, like you said, we know what it is. We know how big a Star Destroyer looks. So when we see it look suddenly a lot bigger than we're used to, but still keeping within its proportions of what it should actually be.
Yeah.
It is quite visually striking. The misstep, I think, with Nomad is it's a blessing and a curse, because I love the lights that it shines down to, like, track its targets. But they scale it, because Nomad is basically the shape of a big boomerang. Yeah. And the lights come down in the shape of a boomerang. So you go right, so Nomad is this big then. But then when you look at Nomad, you're like, it looks much bigger now because it's in the sky.
Yeah.
So is it just as small as the lights, or is it like a portion of the lights? I don't know.
I didn't like the lights. I thought they were dumb.
I don't think they'd be a practical tool, but I think sci-fi visuals-wise, they look cool.
I don't know. To me, it was just like, we have this big... secret flying nuclear base.
Yeah.
Oh, here it comes. I can see it coming from 10 miles away because of these big fucking shining lasers which illuminate every step it takes, apparently.
Yeah. And to be fair, I have, throughout the film, there are a few funny moments. I want to reiterate, I like this. I'm just poking fun. But, like, there are some funny moments where you're like, you see those lights and you're dead. I'm like, well, unless you have a helicopter, in which case you're very fine.
Yeah.
Because John David Washington escapes those lights about 100 times.
It's true, he does, yeah. Yeah.
But, like, the design of it, it's very, like, I like the... When you get in the third act, it's very white and shiny. I like the inside of it, there's, like... It's not just a space station. There's, like, labs, and there's also, like, a place where they're growing... like plants and like grass and stuff. I don't really know what for, but I just think it looks cool.
Yeah. Why did John David Washington need to wear a spacesuit inside it?
I think it's because he was wearing his... he had to open the doors, didn't he, to get all the soldiers out on the shuttle. He opened the airlock doors so that they all flew out.
Was he not fine after that?
Yeah, but then you're not gonna, you know, you've got 10 minutes. You're not gonna sit there and be like, right, better get into my comfies. You're probably gonna be like, right, I'm in what I'm in.
Yeah, no, I know, but maybe I'm wrong, but Jimmy just looked like he was walking about the space station, being like, oh, I need to breathe, I can't breathe.
But yeah, I think that's part and parcel with the panicked performance of it all. I think.
Yeah, maybe.
But he does have his helmet off for a large.
The ending felt very rushed to me. I will say that.
Oh, do you reckon? Okay.
Yeah, like from fucking. The army have the girl bomb, the army have the baby to Nomad, all of that. It all felt very quick, I thought. It felt like there was a lot of stuff cut out, I think.
I'd be inclined to admit maybe some stuff for the AI stuff, but this was... they're never going to tell us one way or the other, but the marketing and push for this movie and the desire of it was that it's a singular vision unchanged, which... There's always an emphasis of, like, there's always a little bit of bullshit around that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, stuff will have already definitely been...
But, I mean, you can have a singular vision, and but, like, fucking still edit stuff. Like,
what do you think was missing?
Movie,
what felt wrong?
There is not a single movie that has ever come out which is singular vision unchanged. That just does not exist, okay? Because... yeah. No matter who you, there's always stuff you can lose in the editor room. And if there isn't, then you probably shouldn't make movies, okay?
Yeah. So you should always look at something critically and be like, what can go now that it's all together?
Yeah. That's bullshit, but whatever. It just felt like very quick to me, but like not in a good way. It felt like I don't know if it actually was this, but it felt like, oh, 2 second shot of us in the car, and now we're on the spaceship now, and now we're at Nomad.
You mean them getting to Nomad?
It all just felt quite quick, really.
There's definitely a convenience of it, of which is like, I actually think a nice little some degree of like a chase sequence would have been quite cool there, like an elongated stealth section.
Yeah,
because I think and they could have played into one of the strengths of this movie, which I think is John David Washington he's a great. His physicality is brilliant for like action stuff. He's very like, I know, and again, for whatever your feelings are on Tenet, you don't like it, right? But like the fights where he grates a man's face with a cheese grater, like the fact that he's the smallest person in the room and like the veracity of his punches, how quickly he can run, like sprinting for his life, trying to get away from a building blowing up. Like he's a very good physical performer. And I think the movie could have benefited from putting him in more situations where he was, I don't know, looking a bit cooler. Like there are moments where he has a standoff with a guy with a gun and like he shoots the guy, but he's dropped to the floor. There are other moments where he's like stunt driving a car and he's just contorting his entire body around to look around everywhere out of every window. Like, do you see what I'm getting at? Like he's very physically, I think he's quite gifted.
Yeah. I think.
No.
I don't know. I guess I don't really notice that.
Did you like the big bulky boys, the bomb boys?
Those were very fun, actually. Yeah, I did like those quite a lot. They were quite funny the way they just like Godspeed, ma'am, and then just started running towards the enemy.
It's been an honor to serve you, and then just they ran into a conflict to explode themselves.
Yeah, they were quite fun. Quite grim when you think about them, but still.
Yeah, I mean, that, but that's the larger point of the movie itself, isn't it? It's
just... Also, for the whole fucking, for the army and the military and the US to be like, their whole thing is like, oh, no more robots. We hate AI. They sure have a lot of fucking robots.
Yeah. Mate, their combat vests are all very, like, they have a mech suit. They have a combat vest that is entirely made up of tech.
Yeah.
Their guns work differently because they've got, like, some sort of, it's a bit more Call of Duty futuristic sights on it. That larger point, the bulky boy bomb boys, that's the larger point of the entire movie, right? It's just the only use we can think of you is to give you sentient legs so that you can run somewhere and then explode.
Also, how is that better than shooting a missile?
It's not. I don't know. Exactly. I don't quite. I think. I guess it's just to like. Get through a barrage or something.
It's so much slower and impractical. Just shoot a fucking missile.
And it talks to you before it goes.
Exactly. It's on fucking legs, mate. What are you doing? How is that better than a flying missile? That's so stupid.
Look, maybe they don't always have the infrastructure for the missiles, but I do.
They have the infrastructure for a big fucking flying nuke machine.
No, but they're in the back of a Jeep, aren't they? So they're like, let's... all we've got is a couple of these little RPG.
Fucking RPG, fucking rocket launcher, whatever, man. Come on.
I did think you'd like them. I watched them again yesterday and I was like, Nathan will like this design.
I do like them, they're pretty fun. But they are stupid.
All right. I don't know. Is there anything else that stood out to you? Like anything you can
No.
because a lot of the stuff I've got is mainly kind of stuff we've already touched on, like the larger themes of it all, like the debating of whether, you know, if John David Washington and his wife's love is real, then why is an AI that can also feel love, why is that not real in comparison? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like we can get into it, but I feel like anyone that watched it kind of got those points weren't subtle. Like, they were very much, this is the point of the movie.
Why was his wife suddenly back at the end? What's going on there? I think I missed something there.
So that's the Torchwood death glove. You know when he went to see her in a coma and turned her off?
Maybe.
So when the military woman, she was like, Gemma Chan had just been killed. She'd just been turned off of life support.
Yeah.
And then the military woman came in and was like, I want to find out everything this woman knows about AI or whatever.
Yeah.
And then put a chip in her head so that she could do the resurrection glove Torchwood thing.
Yeah.
John David Washington grabbed that. And then on Nomad, there were like, where they'd obviously been experimenting with AI, I guess, to get AI to win the war for them against AI. Alfie put the chip into an AI that was Gemma Chan, based off Gemma Chan's likeness.
Yeah.
So it was his wife in the way that it had all of her memories and feelings, but that's why she was alive again.
Right, okay.
She wasn't alive. She was a robot. And I also think that's, again, the larger point of he spends the entire movie being like, I wish I could hug my wife again. What I'd give for just one more moment with my wife. And then the movie also starts with him being like, AI isn't real. It's just programming. It's not real. It's not anything that's real or you should give a fuck about. And then he ends the movie very happy that he can die in his wife's arms, who, by his own logic at the start of the movie, isn't real.
Mm.
I quite like the ending. I do know what you mean about it feeling a bit, it does rush its way there. But you've got some good performances. I think you've got the goodbye, like the I love you in the airlock of the escape pod thing. That's all very touching, I think.
It was. Yeah. It was a little bit.
A little bit.
I don't know. Like, again, it's nothing groundbreaking. And it doesn't need to be. It 100% does not need to be, but yeah, I don't know. I think I was a little let down by it. I was expecting more, really, from this movie. I don't know. I'd heard quite good stuff.
You put this on my radar. You sent me the trailer for this. I hadn't heard of this.
Yeah, and I thought it looked really good and seemed really interesting. But yeah, I was just a little let down by it, I think. Mm. Like, there's good stuff in it, and it's got good ideas. I think it's just a bit, a bit convoluted, maybe.
Yeah,
I think it gets lost in its own ideas sometimes.
I agree with that. Yeah, and it gets lost in it would be more forgivable if the ideas it got lost in were not just taken from other things. Like,
yeah,
it's a movie that borrows a lot,
that's fine. You can do that.
Yeah,
but then don't present yourself as this wholly original thing or whatever.
And there is kind of like. I do understand the concept of studios are obviously unwilling to spend a lot of money on it. The whole reason this got made is because Gareth Edwards went to them and went 80 million, not 200 million.
Mm.
Like, they wouldn't have even entertained a meeting at 200 million. But I do think there is an element of, because it's not like an IP or it's not a proven franchise, that the pitch likely would have been like, oh, it's like District 9 meets this movie. They would have had in the pitch meeting for it, and I guess producers' interference throughout probably would have been like, well, let's gear more towards this kind of idea. Let's look into this concept.
Yeah.
Just to try and be like, well, people liked District 9. People liked, you know, other stuff. I'm blanking on other examples, but like, they would have had to have made, it's an original movie with some unoriginal ideas, because that's the only way it was going to get made, is if it reminded people of other stuff that they did like, if that makes sense. Mm. But yeah, it's not perfect. It's not, but I like what it represents. And I don't think it's perfect in that regard. I think it's just a step in the right direction for making things whilst also treating people a bit more fair, and also, like, it feels more long-term sustainable to do it this way rather than to keep blowing 200 million on stuff that doesn't even touch the sides.
And reusing footage from real life tragedies.
Oh, yeah, obviously, I love that.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what I mean, though? Like, this is, it's a fairer practice that's been done.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. And but I just don't think the end product is, like, I don't know.
I would have loved this, these practices.
Don't get me wrong, it looks great. It looks fucking stunning.
Yeah.
I think. But just a bit of shit. No,
it's a shame. No, but, like, it didn't perform that well because the I don't think it didn't perform well because of the budget or the reasonings. I think it performed well. I don't think it performed that well because people went to watch it, and then word of mouth, people were like, you can watch this at home.
Yeah.
Like, because it is something that you can easily just watch at home.
Yeah.
It's not something that you need to rush out to the cinema to experience on the big screen. Like, what I would have loved if this movie was slightly more better in the plot department, and then it really would have been heralded as this great, this is the way things need to be done. Look at this great concept that was made for, not cheap, but a lot cheaper than people would have initially assumed. But yeah, overall, cool. Glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched it again. I liked it more on the second time round, I think. It's one that, like, there were some plot cracks that I was able to look at and be like, oh, okay, I guess that makes a bit more sense now that it's clearly laid out for me.
I am indifferent to the fact that I watched most of it. So
there
we go.
One day he'll watch the whole thing and you'll have a full.
I don't know if I will.
Fair enough. Have you got any little things?
No.
I have two. We'll be quick. First one is Ken Watanabe is great. I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's great.
He's always good as this little sage old man that provides you nice wisdom.
Yeah, he loves Godzilla.
He's great in Godzilla. He's the one that says, let them fight, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. And also the second one was, what accent is Gemma Chan doing?
British, was it? Was just doing a regular British
accent. I thought
so
when I first watched it, but I'm almost certain I picked up some, like, New Zealandish twangs.
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought she was just doing a regular British.
I don't know. I think maybe because she does. She's English. She has a British accent in Eternals, right?
She is British. Yeah, it's just a regular accent.
Oh yeah, but she uses her voice, her normal voice.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. I need to. I'm not watching The Creator again at any time, but anytime soon. But I did feel like there were, like, some New Zealand twangs creeping out here and there. Anyway, it's that point of the show where we recommend some stuff to each other. It could be something we've watched, read, listened to, or experienced. Basically, anything we've done in the past week that we'd like to share with each other and to you lovely listeners. My recommendation this week is very simple, will require very little explaining, and it is Connect 4, the game.
Okay.
I had a fairly, like, relaxed weekend, and you know when you do, like, I tidied the house, and then I was like, I might play some games. Then I got bored of the games because I'd been playing them for, like, some time. And then I kind of ran out of cool things that I wanted to do with my time off. And I went, do you know what? I'm going to play a board game. And I don't really like Scrabble and stuff. I think they're, like, I don't know, just, it doesn't, it's not as fun to me because I'm having to do a lot of thinking. I like the simplicity of a Connect 4 where I'm just like, it's a little visual puzzle for my brain.
I'm going to recommend a podcast called Still Got Legs.
No, you can't.
Why not?
That's an outrageous plug. We're not doing that.
Fine.
Also, we'll plug it again in a minute.
Well, all right, yeah, but that doesn't help me now, does it?
You're just using a slot. Go on, think of something else. What's the first thing you can see?
My phone.
All right, recommend your phone.
I'll recommend my phone.
Everyone should go and get Nathan's phone.
No, don't do that.
What phone have you got?
Why is that important?
So that you're recommending people can go and check out that model number.
I don't want them to know what
phone. What is it, like, iPhone, like, 14,
I don't 15? Want them to know what phone I've got.
All right. You're not, like, gatekeeping it. It's one of the biggest phone companies in the world.
I like my privacy. Right. I'm not recommending my phone.
Okay, well then, what are you recommending?
I'm recommending. Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl that's already gone.
Yeah, everyone watched the Chiefs versus the 49ers, I think it was.
I have no idea. I have no idea what goes on in the Super Bowl. Who did the halftime show?
Usher.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that would explain all the house fall of the House of Usher memes I've been seeing.
Probably.
That makes some sense.
Truth be told, I didn't even watch it.
Nor did I. Main thing Super Bowl is good for is all the trailers that come after it. Did you see the Apes trailer?
I didn't, no.
Oh, it looks cool. That's a very cool one.
No, I need to watch that. I didn't see it.
They're having a cool fight. It looks good.
Fuck it. I'll recommend... No, I genuinely have nothing.
Anything.
I genuinely have nothing.
What about a game? You played a game?
I've only been playing The Last of Us. And I've recommended that like 3 times.
What did you have for dinner?
Nothing.
You haven't not eaten anything in the last week, have you?
I had a cup of soup yesterday.
There you go. There you go. That's that then.
I recommend a cup of soup.
Is all of that problem solving staying in as well?
Sure, why not? I recommend a cup of soup, everyone.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a little 5-star review. It'd be much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, but if you do it on Apple, you can write us a nice little message as well, which would be good. On Spotify, they're also doing a little question. They might ask you, how did you find this episode? We still have no idea where those go. So you can either do that or not. You can also give us a little follow on Twitter. We are at Another Happy Pod. That's where you'll get post reminders for new episodes that go up every Friday at 10 a.m. It's also a place where you can suggest topics by following the link in our pinned tweet. No promises, because we've also just done one. We did one on The Thing last week. So go and listen to that if you want to know our thoughts on that. Nathan, we have another podcast as well, don't we?
We do. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who rewatch podcast, where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who. And sometimes we do so for 4.5 fucking hours. So go check that out if you want. It's a good bit of fun.
It is. It's a very long good bit of fun. You can also get excited because next week we're going to be doing this.
You all right?
Yeah, I've got a flat tire.
Take my bike.
Hey, that is so kind. Thank you. I'm sorry I don't know your name. I'm Felix.
Oliver.
Oliver. Mm. Oliver, I love you. I love you. All right, cheers, Ollie.
It's Murder on the Dance Floor.
Oh, it is Saltburn, yeah.
That's the only thing I know about that movie.
That is, it'd be hard not to know that about that movie. That movie has made that song very popular again. Wahoo, it's not Mario. Nathan, do Wahoo, it's not Mario.
Wahoo, it's not Mario.
Nice. Right, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. Didn't even say goodbye. You're done.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.